Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me in studio today is Father Don Feit, a retired priest of the Diocese of Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Tim. So good again to be with you.
Yeah, and today we're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, Section 1, about what we believe as Catholics. And today we're going to talk about the soul. What is the soul?
All right. Thanks, Tim, for that question, because it comes from where we were yesterday, talking about why we are so exalted as human beings. And in God's eyes, we're so beautifully important to God, more than all the other animals. And that's because of our soul. The soul, the Catechism says, is what makes each individual person human. It's a spiritual life principle. It's the inmost being. I wouldn't be without my soul. I'd be a corpse. You know, I would be a body, but without life. It's through my soul that I become an I. I have identity as a human being. And the great difference is, whereas animals have an animal soul, life, they too die and lose their soul, but their souls don't have those great qualities I talked about yesterday when I said each human being, the soul brings these gifts of the mind, the intelligence that uses the brain I have, but I have a mind and I have a free will. Those two things come with my soul, and there's no other me, and there's no other Tim. Whoever you are listening today, each of us, we are also unique because our soul is a great gift that makes me who I am.
So we're all unique, but we're all different because we have different personalities and
right.
different ways of seeing things, but we're all created equal.
That's right. And even identical twins, they may look alike in their body, but in their souls, they can be so different.
Sure.
Just in their personalities even. It's amazing how they're each unique. Yeah.
Okay. So where do humans acquire the soul?
Ah, good question, Tim. The Catechism says the human soul is created directly by God. Our body, with all its genes and chromosomes, and that comes from our parents. But the soul comes from God. God implants the soul in me at the moment of my conception. And that's why, of course, we who believe in the gift of life is something that needs to be respected and protected, even by the laws of our country, we're so convinced that from that moment on, once we're conceived, once we are a unique human being, it's because we have this soul that comes from God.
I think one point we can make, too, is that our bodies and our souls are free gifts of God.
That's right.
So even though it's my body, it's technically maybe on loan from God. It's a gift from God, but I have to have honor and respect for my body and my soul.
That's right. Yeah, we're not things. We are people, and as people, we are so precious to God.
You know, I think of that when I see that some of the states, unfortunately, here in the United States, are passing this right to die euthanasia bill, and it's really not their life to terminate. It's God's gift, and it's up to God to determine when we are to die. So even though it's a free gift from God, and it's in one sense, it is my body, it is my soul, it's a gift from God, and for me to think that I can terminate it when I feel I'm ready to die, that doesn't sound right.
That's right. I agree with you. Of course, I also have to say to any sister of mine, or brother too, who says, well, that's your body, to a mother carrying a baby. No, it's not her body. Even the blood type is different from hers. But that unique little person she's carrying, tiny though it may be, is a, is unique. It's not hers. It's a gift she's carrying. And so if she would, if somebody can encourage her to see that this gift is too precious, too wonderful to just dispose of as though it were an almost person. No, it's already a being because of the soul. It's human. And there's a Dr. Lejeune. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Jerome Lejeune. He was a doctor in France who, among other famous things he did, was discover the gene that explains Down syndrome. He was able to had great love for all the people that have that special need, that special situation. Dr. Jerome was so convinced, you know, that we have to respect each baby from the moment of conception as a unique human being.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Father. Why did God create man male and female?
Well, you said yesterday, Tim, a lot of things are mysteries. That's a great mystery. It's a wonderful one. Nobody can totally reflect God, but somehow there's something so special about the way God decided to create us so that we each in our own way complement each other, and we each love in our own way. So men love in their way and women do in theirs, not just the physical gift of love that we share in sexual love, but even the way we think is often very unique, you know.
That's an understatement, Father.
That's
I've been married 35 years.
We
think quite differently.
And even the way we, in a home, when it comes time, a woman will say to us, even in my rectory office, every so often the gals would say, Father, it's time to redecorate around here. So what's wrong with the way it is? Well, you know, it just needs a little touch up. You know, we need some new wallpaper here. We need some flowers here. The women just have a gift of being sensitive to the surroundings and wanting it to look nice and to be decorative. Some fellas have that in a great degree too. But many of us, well, whatever you want to do, honey. I'm not into that, you know. But give me a hammer, give me some nails, and I'll fix that railing there that you need fixed that I've been putting off for so long. You know, we tend to be builders. We tend to be creators in a way different from women. But we're all helping to do the same thing. We're all made in God's image.
Well, you know, one point you made before we went on air today, Father, is that when you get married, it's actually not two people, but it's three people, which would make it similar to the mystery of the Blessed Trinity,
that's
Father,
right.
Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. When a man and a woman get married, it isn't just two people, you said.
Yeah.
It's three of us because we need to include God in that relationship.
Yeah. And there's even a verse in the book of Sirach that says a three-ply cord is less likely to unravel in so many words. And so I sometimes take three cords right into the pulpit at a marriage, you know, and show them, wrap two of them together and you can pull them apart easily. But put the third one in there and wrap them carefully together and pull on them, they're going to stay, you know. They might give a little bit, but they won't pull apart. And I say, that's your relationship, a male and female that have come together as one flesh. If you can make sure God is part of your relationship, you're going to have a wonderful marriage that'll go the distance.
You know, a lot of people discount the Ten Commandments today and don't realize that we as Catholic Christians are to follow those Ten Commandments just as they were in the Old Testament. In our marriage, if we put God first, we're keeping that first commandment to love the Lord our God.
That's right.
And again, to make him a part of our commitment to each other.
Amen to that.
So that's very important.
Good.
This last point, how are we to understand people who think they are homosexual? What's the church's teaching, the church's view?
Let me read first, Tim, the answer in the catechism here, that the church believes that in the order of creation, man and woman are designed to need, normally. We need each other's complementary traits. We enter into a mutual relationship, and part of that is giving life to our children. And there are some who, for whatever reason, are not so inclined by their body drive. They feel attracted to somebody of the similar sex, the same. Mm-hmm. And there's been many attempts to explain that genetically, all with failure. But there is a strong evidence among people who study the behavior and who we are, and who have found that many who are homosexually inclined do have some needs that have maybe not been met well in their childhood. Mm-hmm. A boy needs his daddy's love. A girl needs her mother's love. And sometimes that's been lacking in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And so some people just feel this great drive for a love that's different from what most people want or feel a drive for. So the church says it's not a sin to be homosexual, that's for sure. You're a beautiful person too. But to act out on that and to get involved in homosexual behavior would not be God's will, because it's a truncated activity here, meaning that there's the openness to life that goes with the love is not there. And there always must be both. You can't separate openness to life, openness to love in your marriage. Huh? That's been the problem. Many, many people since we've been able to do that, and especially in the past 40, 50 years, ever since the birth control pill came on the market, so many people thought they were doing the right thing in limiting the size of their family by using the pill, but what they were doing is engaging in sex closed to love. Open to love, but closed to life. And that's why even homosexuals have to respect that. If I can't do something open to life, then it's not God's call for me. And I can still love people and have friends, but I have to refrain from acting in a way that would be against God's will. And just as married couples have to learn that. We must always be open to life and to love. One couple who really feels strongly about that gave me a Valentine once with two pieces of paper, glued real tight together. And on the one side of the Valentine, it had life. I turned it over, and the other side said love. And they said, see, you got to have both. You can't pull them apart. Huh? They have to. It's one heart, life and love both. And so homosexual people have to find a way to love that does not include homosexual behavior. If that makes sense.
Yeah, well put. And it would be similar that someone who is homosexual not being that fact, not being a sin, but then acting it out would be like a heterosexual person who does act it out. They would also be committing a mortal sin by offending God by having sex outside of marriage.
There you go. I'm glad you mentioned God, because what is God's will for me? That's the bottom line that we always have to be open to. And we have to pray. If the church teaches something, as it does in the catechism here, why? There have to be good reasons. God doesn't just he doesn't cruelly say, I'm going to be tough on you and tell you you can't do this. There's always good reasons. If we learn more about life and love, which is God, we'll understand more closely what it is he wants of me.
Great. So today we learn what is the soul, and it's only given to us by God, and that God is the one who gives us that soul. And he creates us, man and woman, to complement one another much the way that God complements and loves us. Father, I want to thank you again for joining us today.
I was happy to be here.
Thank you. And this has been Tim Perry for this edition of Faith with Father. God bless you, and until next time.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.